Welcome to the Danny Klinkscale Reasonably Irreverent Podcast. Insightful and witty commentary, probing interviews, and detours from the beaten path.
Welcome to Kansas City Profiles, presented by Easton Roofing, an enjoyable conversation with Steve Calhoun from Armed and Dangerous Football Camps. His camps have been going on for almost two decades now, teaching fundamentals, strategies, and expertise in quarterbacking and eventually in being a wide receiver as well. His football story is an interesting one. He grew up as a very young boy in Germany with his father in the military. He's from a large family and was the youngest of seven, including an older brother who was a quarterback. So he learned the ropes there, eventually becoming a high school and college quarterback, and then on to a decade of playing football in professional football in Germany, kind of returning to his roots there. After that 10-year tenure, he ran across some people who suggested that his expertise might lie in teaching football, and that's what he's done ever since in his Armed and Dangerous football camps, and as well as being a tenured quarterback coach at the Manning Passing Academy since 2013. He's crossed paths with many greats, including Dan Marino, and has a lot of clients who you have heard of and will hear of in this particular broadcast. It is an interesting conversation. It's a fascinating football story. He now has some Kansas City connections as his fiancée has moved here to the Kansas City area. That's how we got connected. I'm glad we did. It's a fun story. Kansas City Profiles, presented by Easton Roofing, Steve Calhoun from Armed and Dangerous Football Camps.
More of Danny's Reasonably Irreverent podcast after this.
Hey, Kansas City, Joe Spiker, Easton Roofing here. This happens all the time. I had a homeowner call me because a roofing company talked him into submitting a claim for hail damage. The claim was not denied, but all the insurance paid for was cosmetic damage to the roof. Of course, there was no damage to the roof that mattered. The roofing company was just doing what most do, turn it in and hope to get lucky, with no thought to the consequences they leave behind for the homeowner. The homeowner asked me what to do, and unfortunately, he was stuck paying his deductible for a bunch of unnecessary repairs, because if he doesn't get it fixed, the insurance won't cover his roof anymore. Turning in an insurance claim is not something to do willy-nilly. It is a serious procedure that requires serious people to help you through the process. That's why you should never turn in an insurance claim without having Easton Roofing take a look first, for free, and keep you from filing erroneous insurance claims that can hurt you in the end. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Enjoy all the excitement of football season at the 23rd Street Brewery. From the Jayhawks and college football to the NFL and even live-streamed Lawrence High and Free State football games, you can watch it all at the 23rd Street Brewery. Enjoy the games with your favorite menu item like the Bill Self mac and cheese, naked nachos, or the Haney turkey stack. And wash it all down with your favorite beer like a Wave the Wheat or Crimson Fall. 23rd Street Brewery on the corner of Clinton Parkway and Castle in Lawrence.
Cinematic Visions has been an affordable solution for professional media production in Kansas City since 2003, offering award-winning video production and creation, as well as a wide array of digital and social media management services. From planning, scripting, filming, editing, and post-production, to delivering your product to a watching world, Cinematic Visions will provide professional and affordable services for you and your business with the necessary return on investment to make it all worthwhile. Cinematic Visions' goal is to unlock the power of storytelling through video and a strong online presence for your company. Beyond the numbers, they want to inspire and evoke your clients to feel and act. Let my friends at Cinematic Visions embed your brand where it belongs, in your customers' minds. You can find them online at cinematicvisions.com or with a quick phone call at 816-600-6300.
If you'd like to join these and other great sponsors and market your business to a growing and engaged audience, contact us at danny@dannyklinkscale.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Steve, you've had a long and varied career as far as football, coaching, playing, etc. Tell me about a young Steve Calhoun and how he started to get involved in the game, or just how you grew up in general.
Absolutely. Well, Danny, first of all, I appreciate you having me on the show, and I look forward to just talking a little bit more football and giving your listeners just a little bit about my background. I really got into quarterbacking because of one of my older brothers. I'm the youngest of seven. I have four older brothers. Mm-hmm. And my older brother, Lorenzo, introduced me to playing quarterback. We grew up in Seaside, California, on an Army base called Fort Ord. And, you know, my brother Lorenzo was the star quarterback, and I used to go to his games and be his ball boy. And that really sparked my interest into, you know, playing the position.
What was it like, with a military upbringing in a big family?
A very big family, yeah. We were. My father got stationed in Germany when I was 4 months old. So I grew up in Germany and went to a German kindergarten. So, you know, ended up playing, going back, you know, I'm kind of cutting through the story a little bit, but, you know, ended up going back over to Germany and playing pro football for 9 years. But so I speak fluent German now. So, mm-hmm. But it was always ingrained from when I was just a little kid going to a German kindergarten school. But yeah, but definitely, you know, big family. Everybody was involved in sports. So I just had to keep the tradition going because I was the youngest.
Being the youngest, that obviously sometimes you probably get pushed around a little bit, but you also are around older people and had to compete with that. When I've talked to people in sports who've had older siblings, usually that is a kind of a great training ground.
It's absolutely, because it is unforgiving. They don't matter if you're not getting your way and you're crying and you don't throw a good ball or have some success, they're still going to ride you and make you get up and continue to compete. And that always that was instilled in me and at a very young age, and it still drives me today.
Tell me a little bit about when you felt like you had some real aptitude for the game.
Well, it was probably about sixth or seventh grade. We were me and all my good friends that grew up here in my neighborhood. My brother Lorenzo started a flag football team, you know, kind of for like the Boys and Girls Club, you know, little rec team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, funny thing is my mom bought white t-shirts, and she wrote our names on the back with our numbers. And that was our uniforms. We just didn't have the money to go out and buy uniforms. So we had our little rec team, our little flag football team, and we ended up winning the city championship here in Santa Ana, California. So that was like, okay, I'm able to throw the ball. And my brother was always, you know, teaching me little techniques about my footwork and my throwing mechanics, you know, way back then. And that's kind of like the first success I've had at quarterback and really fell in love with the game.
So tell me, through the journey, said junior high, high school, how did that go?
Yeah, I mean, the same thing, you know, here in California, you know, we don't play tackle football in junior high school, so we have to play Pop Warner or Junior All-American. So, you know, had a lot of success, you know, at those levels, at that Pop Warner level, you know, won a couple of championships. And then, so I'm going into high school on a great high, you know, winning a lot of football games. And during my high school career, I only won 4 games in 4 years.
Wow.
So it was a big reality check, like, oh my gosh, you know. And just, you know, no knock against the coaches that I had in high school, but they were at 3 yards, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of coaches. And I'm a thrower of the football, and we had a lot of good athletes at receiver, but no one was talking about the spread offense and having 4 wide receivers on the field. You know, it was more like USC and student body right, student body left, you know, give the ball to the tailback type deal. So, didn't have a lot of success and didn't really develop as a quarterback. So once, you know, decided to go to junior college, Santa Ana College, and there, Tom Schein, who was my offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, he really taught me about the game, the details of the game, and why your footwork and your throwing mechanics are so important. And it's the reason why the ball goes high, low, right, or left. It's because if you have great mechanics and great footwork.
Now, you went from Santa Ana to New Mexico State University. Tell me about the experience there.
Yeah, great experience. Didn't start off so well. Well, and, you know, got there my junior year. They had recruited me and another quarterback named Charles Pallori, and we came in behind a senior. So, you know, we thought that, you know, we had the talent to play over him, but he was a great leader, and he had already, you know, bid his time, you know, in that leadership role and gave the coaches that confidence. So I didn't get a chance to play my junior year. And so I was really looking forward to my senior year. And going into that summer, I had a shoulder injury and just wasn't able to throw the ball all summer. So that kind of set me back and didn't have a great opportunity to really show what I can do in college. So I'm just thinking like, man, what am I going to do now? Type deal. And so I went and played some semi-pro football in Fresno, California. And from that experience there, I got a phone call from a coach, and I said, hey, we would love for you to sign a contract. Come play football in Germany. Come play in our professional league over here. And I'm like, football in Germany? And he was like, absolutely. And so I got a passport and jumped on a plane and went over there and played professionally for 9 years.
Tell me what that experience was like. Where did you play? What was the league like? We know now that the NFL is really trying to incorporate. We're going to have an NFL game in Germany this year. The Chiefs, for instance, are affiliated with a city in Germany. So that aspect is now, but this is over 20 years ago that you were doing this. What was it like?
It was definitely an eye opener. In that GFL league, the German Football League, as it's called, you're only allowed to have 4 Americans on the team, mm-hmm. and then 2 on the field at the same time. So I had to do a lot of coaching as well as playing just to get the level of my teammates around me, you know, to play at a higher level and really give them a lot of detailed coaching that I learned from junior college and from college. So, and that's kind of really sparked me to be on the path that I am right now as far as coaching, because you weren't just only a player in Germany. You really had to coach and coach your players and sometimes coach your coaches because they were just so behind in the game. But I played in Dusseldorf and Munich, which is a couple of cities that I played over there, and had a great experience. And I have friends today that I still talk to, you know, on a weekly basis. So, and I still go over there every summer. I go over there the whole month of August, and I run quarterback receiver camps. So I'm just, you know, I'm like an ambassador, and I'm just continuing trying to grow the game. And now you see, you know, with the NFL being over there, you know, having the games in London and having the games now in Germany, I'm just trying to be that small piece to help the game grow over in Europe.
So what was the experience like from how many fans would attend the game dollars and cents standpoint? How do they treat you? What was that like?
Well, you know, it's the fans treated me great. They didn't really know all the rules of the game. They knew what touchdown was. They knew that when the referees raised his hands, that's when you start cheering. And if you had, anything about, European, like, soccer fans, I mean, they would sing the whole game. But it was great. You know, we didn't make a ton of money over there. It was just kind of enough to put a few dollars in your pocket, and they would give you a car, an apartment, and a place to eat at every day. And it was just really more for the love of the game while you're playing over there. So, you know, I was able to get all the football out of me, you know, because sometimes people, you know, end up stop playing at an early age and then have regrets. So, I mean, the GFL allowed me to get it out of my system and turn the page. But, I mean, I had a great time over there. And again, you know, I still go over there every year. And run quarterback receiver camps and help, you know, develop those young quarterbacks and receivers, you know, to where the game is over here in the States is right now.
So that's a decade of your life. What would a year be like? I assume you didn't stay there the whole year. Were you back and forth? What was your life like during that decade?
Absolutely. Well, we would have to leave here in at the beginning of March. We would leave about the first week of March, and then that's, you know, we would have preseason in April, and then the season would run all the way through the end of September, and then the championship game is in October. And then shortly, maybe a few weeks after that, after the German Bowl, and then I would just come back here in late October, early November, and just train, you know, until, you know, that next February, March, and then and get back on the plane. So, you know, I split time, you know, being over there probably about 7 months and then back over here for the rest of the time.
Personally, what was that like for you?
It was great. It was really, really good. I mean, I've had an opportunity to play in 14 different countries. I mean, I have so many stamps in my passport, and that's just some of the experiences that I share with my quarterbacks and my receivers now that I'm working with. Just like, there's a big world, and playing football in Europe, you know, gave me that opportunity to really see it. I mean, I talk about countries that, you know, that they, some of them haven't heard of, like Lithuania. They were like, Coach Calhoun, you've been to Lithuania? I'm like, absolutely. You know what I mean? So, I mean, just that experience right there, it really helped me to become a well-rounded person and have an open mind for other people's culture and how you treat people and how you want to be treated.
When you mentioned getting football out of your system, so you do this for 10 years when this period of time was winding down in about 2004, what was the thought process there as what the future would lie ahead for you?
Yeah. So the last year before I finished my career, 2003, 2004, I came home after my eighth year and I said, okay, I'm just want to play one more year. So I was home training with my strength and conditioning coach. And there was a young quarterback in there also working out. So it was important to me as a quarterback that when I would lift up a body, I would always go out and throw. Because as your muscles get bigger, you lose your throwing mechanics. You lose your muscle memory of your stroke. And so there was the young quarterback in there, his name was Derek Shaw. And his grandfather, who was bringing him to these sessions, you know, saw me throwing the ball. And he approached me and said, hey, you know, my grandson's a quarterback. Could you show him some of the things that you're working on and stuff like that? Because he doesn't have anybody to work with him. I said, absolutely. So for those next 4 months that I was home, I was working with Derek Shaw, and then I flew back to Germany and played my last season. He played his junior year at Oceanside High School in San Diego, and he ended up becoming the number one high school quarterback in the country. So, you know, I stayed in touch with Coach Enright, his grandfather, and he told me about all the successes that Derek was having. And he said, hey, I think you found your niche. This is something you should be doing, you know, coaching quarterbacks, and where you can communicate information, you know, from your brain to the young athlete and really get him to understand it. He goes, that's a special gift. I told my brother Lorenzo about it. And, you know, we decided to start a business, you know, coaching quarterbacks. And he came up with the name Armed and Dangerous. He was like, quarterbacks throw the ball with their arm and they're dangerous with the football. And that's back in 2003, 2004, that's when Armed and Dangerous became a company.
More of Danny's Reasonably Irreverent podcast after this.
Easton Roofing. For free inspections and suggestions built on integrity, call Easton Roofing, 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing, integrity matters.
Glad to be back again with Dr. Brad Woodall from Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture. And my wife is feeling so much better as far as her neuropathy, and it's due to the various treatments she gets here at ASFCA. It's a great success story.
I'm so glad that she had great results within these first few weeks. We see that often. We have some state-of-the-art tools beyond chiropractic and acupuncture, utilizing things such as cold lasers, red light therapies, and our brand new Trifecta bed. How it works is we assess the patient, get to know everything that's going on, and we take the right steps to figure out the cause and how to best treat it. There's many forms and causes of neuropathy, and based on that, we customize the right treatment plan for them, and the results come.
Have the same success with your treatment at Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture, and learn more at asfca.com/Danny. Welcome to a fantastic way to make a great improvement in your lifestyle. Expert, caring, and relaxing massage therapy from Nina Bryant and Healing Frequency Massage. Nina brings a medical background and a passionate zeal for healing and creating a wonderfully calming and relaxing experience. If you have chronic aches and pains, anxieties from the stresses of the modern world, or you're just plain seeking to feel better, Healing Frequency Massage can do for you what it does for me. I've always enjoyed an occasional massage, but was never overly fired up about it. That has all changed. Nina's caring and exacting approach will make you want to stay on the table forever. She will craft a plan tailor-made for you. All you have to do is reach out at healingfrequencymassage@gmail.com or call 816-988-1654. That's healingfrequencymassage.com or 816-988-1654. Why wait?
If you'd like to join these and other great sponsors and market your business to a growing and engaged audience, contact us at danny@dannyklinkscale.com. Look forward to hearing from you.
Our guest is Steve Calhoun. He is part of Armed and Dangerous, and obviously this is an incredibly interesting football journey. First of all, just before we leave the German part of it, so did you win any German bowls? What was the level of success there?
I actually made it to one German bowl in 1996. We made it there. We ended up losing the game. I got my ribs broke in the second quarter. And, only having two Americans on the team. It was myself. I was a quarterback and my receiver, Estrus Creighton, who played at USC. But we played together in junior college, ironically enough. Once you take the quarterback out, whether it's in Germany right. or you take, one of the starting quarterbacks out in the NFL, the level of play goes down. It's the reason why backup quarterbacks are backups. we ended up losing that game, 28-12. That was my only opportunity to win a German Bowl over there, but I still had a great experience and learned a lot from it.
Now, this is the early 2000s. You're starting this business. I don't think it was quite as prevalent for people to have quarterback coaches and quarterback camps then. What was it like developing this business around 2004, 2005?
Yeah, I had all these great ideas of how I wanted to train quarterbacks and really pour all this information that I've learned over the last, 20 years of my playing career. And I'm like, okay, but I need clients. I'm like, and you can't just walk up to any kid and say, hey, let me train you. So I said, let me get into high school football. That would be, the breeding ground, to allow me to help develop, my ideas or my theories on how the quarterback position should be played. And so I got a coaching, quarterback coaching job at Low Era High School. It's in Anaheim. It's right by Disneyland. And so I told those four quarterbacks the very first day, I said, hey, you guys are going to be my business cards. I said, I'm going to pour in all the information that I've learned over the last 20 years about playing the position. And I want you guys to soak in that knowledge. And that's how I was able to start to get my business going, because the starting quarterback start playing at a high level. We start winning more ball games, and then people would ask, you're doing a great job at quarterback. Where are you learning this stuff from? And he started to, say my name, hey, Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Football. This is who, I work with not only during the week, but we also work out on weekends. And so that was like where my name started to bubble a little bit. And so I'm like, okay, I have to continue to coach in high school to continue, those are just free clients. I don't have to go out and try to recruit anybody. I'm just able to coach my guys. And based off of that, I started to get a few more clientele and it started to grow from there.
So obviously you had success with people at the high school level, but you've worked with some pretty big names in the world of football. How does that aspect of it develop?
Yeah, well, definitely. I was working with a seventh grader who's from Bakersfield, the city of Bakersfield, Central California. And his name was Cody Kessler. And he was driving down, it's probably about 2 hours from Bakersfield down to Southern California, but he was playing on an AAU basketball team. So his dad just randomly had called me up and said, hey, my son Cody, he has a basketball game down in Southern California, but he's also a quarterback. We saw your information on the internet. We would love for you to, get a workout in with him. That happened and Cody started having success and made the Elite 11 and ended up, going to USC and playing there. But that's just one of the stories of guys I had the opportunity to work with and just help them develop and see their success. And that's, for me, it's an unbelievable feeling to just be a small part of their success and have them call me after a game or after a championship or after a Pro Bowl and just say, hey, Steve, hey, thank you for always being there. And thank you for helping me out to, reach my goals and reach my dreams.
When you, as this kind of develops, we've seen the quarterback position develop and different ways of throwing the football. And now, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, maybe it's just at the professional level, but guys embracing throwing the ball from different arm angles and things like that. But still, you have to have the structure of fundamentals. As time has gone on, have you seen people want to be less structured as far as what you are teaching?
Yes, definitely. You know, here in California, I mean, there's pretty much a quarterback coach in every corner just because, I mean, you know, right now, you know, 74 degrees and we're in the, you know, at the end of November. So we're just able to throw the ball and be outside, you know, year round. So the quarterback coaching business has exploded out here. And, you know, there's some young quarterback coaches that see, you know, like somebody in your city, Patrick Mahomes, you know, you know, throwing from different arm angles and be able to make those throws. And they're, you know, they start to build a business off of that. Just like, oh, throwing off platform, that's the way to go. Look at Patrick Mahomes is doing it and look how much success he's having. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes is one of one. There's only one Patrick Mahomes. And so I'm against that. I truly believe in fundamentals and balance creates accuracy. And throwing from a great base is why you're able to complete passes, you know. And I have, you know, some I talk to Dan Marino, you know, quite often, at least, you know, a couple of times a month. And he, you know, we talk about, you know, how quarterbacking has changed. And he goes, nah, it hasn't changed much. You know, you still have to have a great base and you still have to be accurate with the football, you know. And he one thing he mentioned to me was, he goes, I wouldn't practice throwing off balance. It would just be a reactionary thing because quarterbacks are good athletes already. Okay. So you should be able to react and lean away or just lean to your right or left and still be able to make that throw. You're not throwing it 30, 40 yards down the field. He said, so I'm always going to focus on my fundamentals and let the off platform throws, as you people call them, just be a reactionary thing. And I completely, you know, agree with Dan. And, you know, Dan is one of the best quarterbacks to ever throw a football in the Hall of Famer and all those things. So, you know, talking to him and, you know, I work down at the Manning Passing Academy every summer. So, I mean, I've been down there now for 10 years. I've been working it. So for me to be around Peyton, Eli, and Mr. Manning, you know, and that's what they stress, you know, just talking about fundamentals and footwork and throw mechanics, you know. So, I mean, that's something that I preach as well with Armed and Dangerous.
You also work with wide receivers. How did that develop?
Yeah, my whole trajectory was I wanted to go coach college football. So I said, okay, I'm going to start here, you know, in high school. And then I ended up interviewing for a quarterback coaching job at a junior college, you know, and interviewed. Everything went well because of the quarterback coach that was there the year before. He had take another job. So, you know, I got the job and I had the job for about 2 days. And then that original quarterback coach came back. And so he took his job back. And so the head coach was like, we do have a receiver position open. You know, are you interested in that? And I said, hey, absolutely. You know, I didn't know all the technical stuff about the route running, but I knew where they needed to be. And when the quarterback gets his third step, you know, fifth step or seventh step, I just had to really immerse myself in the details of the route running, on how you create separation, how you start and stop. And so that's what I just started doing. And again, my receivers at that junior college level, you know, had a lot of success, and people, you know, were talking to me like, hey, you're a quarterback guy. How do you know about receivers? And I'm like, I've been throwing to them my whole life, you know, so I know a lot about receivers. I just didn't know the details of it. And so I would go to coaches convention, the AFCA, is the largest coaches convention in the country that happens every year. And I would go and sit in those wide receiver meetings and really just develop my craft. And that's how, you know, that expanded on the whole Armed and Dangerous. You know, so we coach quarterbacks, receivers, tight end, and running backs. Anybody who runs a route and catches the football, we coach. And that's really expanded my company.
That's very interesting. Tell me about your connection to this area. I wouldn't be speaking with you if I hadn't gotten in contact with you in some regard. So what's your connection to the Kansas City area?
Absolutely. Well, my fiance, Shailene Gabancho, she took a job out in Kansas City about 3 months ago. So she was new to the area, and, you know, she was just telling me she got connected to a ACA group, ACA meeting, and went there and met a ton of great people. And so the first thing she told me was like, hey, when you come out here, I got to take you to an ACA meeting and introduce you to all the great people here in the Midwest and in the Kansas City area. And I mean, I was blown away by the amount of people that were there and from the many different backgrounds. And just how nice they were to offer their services. And it goes both ways. It's not like just there's one person there just, you know, taking all the resources for themselves. You know, they're offering their services as well. And it's really a two-way street. And it's really been an unbelievable experience for me to go through that. Just how nice everybody is and how everybody's willing to help you, you know, take your business from step one to step two. And so that's how I became familiar with the Kansas City area.
And so when you're in California and it's that competitive and now you have some connections in the Kansas City area, is it something that you're looking to maybe expand or travel a little bit in that regard?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's a lot of talent in the Kansas City, you know, Missouri area. And so there's a quarterback that's out of Wichita. That's a 4 or 5 star quarterback that's playing in the Army All-American game, U.S. Army All-American game. And I'm just going to be happy to be coaching him because I got elected to coach the U.S. Army All-American game down in Dallas. That game will be on the 17th of December. I've heard his name before. I saw him, you know, he was Elite 11 finalist. And so I'm like, man, if that kid is doing that, playing at such a high level, I would love to be able to come into that area and be able to and work with some kids and help them to continue the quarterback play in the Kansas City, Missouri area.
You mentioned that there's a quarterback coach on every corner out in California. How competitive is this particular business, and how has it changed through the years?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, there is a lot of competition out there. But you just have to stay true to who you are and stick to your fundamentals and your values. And that's what I've always done. I'm never going to talk about another quarterback coach and how he develops quarterbacks, you know, because I don't know his details and his philosophy. I know what I know. And parents do a good job of doing their due diligence of learning more about the background of the quarterback coach that they're going to take their son to, and so I mean, I'm definitely you know, excited every week or every other day when I get a phone call and it's a new client and they say, hey, and it's usually, it's not even from, I'm not getting a lot of clientele from Instagram or social media. It's usually word of mouth. You know, so Danny, you know, if I'm talking to you and I say, hey, Danny, I'm coming into Kansas City, and could you recommend me a barbecue spot? And you tell me a name of one. And before I look on social media or on Grubhub or anything like that, I'm going to take your word for it because we're friends and you've been there and you tasted the food. And so I think that's the best way. I think you should build your business. And that's how my business has grown, you know, not really through the social media. It definitely helps, you know, with the quarterbacks that I've had the opportunity to work with, but definitely word of mouth is the way to go.
Well, it's been quite a football journey and you're hardly done. Just to reflect a little bit on what has gone in the past and your football journey and what lies ahead.
Well, it's just continuing to grow the game of quarterbacking and receivers. That's the biggest thing, you know, for me to have the opportunities that I've had, you know, just this past spring, I got hired to coach. I was assistant quarterback coach for the Washington Commanders. I was working at, you know, doing their OTAs and training camp there. So I really learned a lot and it really confirmed a lot of things that I was teaching. So, I mean, that really helps me in my draft prep. So for the last 12 years, I've been training quarterbacks and receivers for the NFL draft. And then to be in that building and really, you know, find out what they're looking for, the type of players, character guys, and the stuff that you're teaching, I know I'm on the right path. So along with that, and being able to, you know, pass that along to, for example, like Hendon Hooker, the quarterback from University of Tennessee, I'll be training him for the draft. He had an unfortunate injury, you know, 2 weeks ago where he tore his ACL, but, you know, he was up for the Heisman and possibly, college playoffs. So, I mean, he's still going to come to California and we're still going to do his draft prep. He's just going to be rehabbing out here. So now that focus turns to all mental training. So watching film, being great in interviews, you know, getting up on the board, being able to explain his offenses and protections. So, I mean, all those things. So being at the Washington Commanders, working with the Mannings, you know, for the last 10 years, and I'll be back there this summer, just really soaking up all that knowledge and passing it along to my athletes has really been, you know, unbelievable for me. And, you know, you're never too old to stop learning. And that's how I approach my life every day, is I'm trying to learn something new about the game and just be able to pass it down to my athletes from Armed and Dangerous.
This podcast was made possible by our great sponsors like Easton Roofing, the presenting sponsor of Kansas City Profiles at the Danny Kling Scale Reasonably Irreverent Podcast. Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. We hope you enjoyed the latest Danny Kling Scale Reasonably Irreverent Podcast. Come back soon for something fresh and new.